So I don't know about you, in the last few years, I think there's been more friction in people's relationships, more conflict between people than probably I've ever seen. Now, maybe that's because I'm young and I haven't seen it all yet. but I've seen long-term friendships fall apart. I've seen people get really upset with the church and disenfranchised with the church. I've seen marriages come under a lot of pressure. A lot of things, and you know, once things get negative, it's easy to then focus on all the negatives. You know, the more you see negatives, the more you'll find negatives. They're there, and as you begin to see negatives in people, and you begin to be, disenfranchised with people, you see more. You know, if you want to go look for things where things are failing, or if you see failure even within your own relationships, you'll see more if you go looking for them. And it made me think a lot about grace, because I love the grace of God. I would not be standing here today if it wasn't for the grace of God. The grace of God blows me away. The biblical definition of grace is unmerited favor, kindness, and love shown to us by God despite our unworthiness and our sinfulness. In other words, grace is a free gift given to us by God that we do not deserve and cannot earn through our own efforts. I love that grace. It's so amazing and it's beyond my understanding. You know, the word grace is mentioned numerous times throughout the Bible, particularly in the New Testament, and often described as God's unmerited favor towards us. And one of probably the most well-known scriptures is in Ephesians 2. So if you've got your Bible, just have a quick look at that. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 says this, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's a gift from God. Not by works, so no one can boast." Grace, mercy. It just blows me away that despite my failures, my weaknesses, my own inadequacy, God's grace towards me is phenomenal. How do I put this? Knowing me, like I know myself, I can't believe sometimes that God's grace allows me to be here. Like, just imagine Alan A, so this is Alan A, and Alan B is God, not that he is God, but Alan B, who knows all about Alan A, because he knows all about him, knowing all about him, knowing his thoughts, his deeds, all that he's done, I'd go, Alan A should not be up here preaching. But God's grace is just phenomenal. It covers us. It just overwhelms us that he has grace for us and his patience with us. Like, I know the good I should do, and sometimes I don't do it, which is sin. It's one of those scriptures in the Bible that we all don't like that we know, don't we? He who knows the good that he should do and doesn't do it sins. So I know my inadequacies, yet I just am blown away by the patience of God and his love for us, that he just continues to let us live by grace. And so what then happens for me is, okay then, if I've received so much grace, what am I like at giving grace? You know, I feel that Jesus, in his whole walk on earth, was very focused on grace and mercy. Now, I go, Jesus is the judge. One day we will all stand before God and give an account of our life. And the fascinating thing about Jesus is that he will be the judge, but he will also stand forward and be our advocate and say, no, I've paid for the sin of that person. On earth, watching Jesus's life, he tended towards grace and mercy more than he did towards judgment. The only people he seemed to be pretty harsh on the judgment was the religious leaders, the people who should have known better. Right, he was pretty strong on them, but outside of that, he erred towards the side of grace and mercy. And I sometimes wonder whether we are living a life where we give people grace and mercy. It seems that people's tolerance of each other has become quite, well, it's just not tolerance. We're quickly judge. We quickly get upset with them. We just so easily don't walk in the area of grace. You know, a few weeks ago, I had a conversation with a person that's been in our church for a long time, and we were talking about a leadership position that they'd had about 3 or 4 years ago. And basically, from the conversation, there were some things that I did and we as a team did that probably weren't the best way of treating the situation. There was a whole lot of, like most situations, there's a whole lot of things that were involved in how it got to that stage. And you know, everybody makes mistakes along the way. And I'm having this conversation apologizing to this person, saying I'm sorry about that. And they had amazing grace. They were very humble. And they're still in the church, which I always admire when people have gone through something hard, which, you know, we all have at times. They were still there and they had an amazing attitude. And I said to her this statement: the church runs on the oil of grace we continue to extend to each other. You know, we say the wrong things. We jump to the wrong conclusions. But grace in the church is like oil in an engine. And I wrote, an engine is made up of moving parts that work together to produce power and motion. Without oil, these parts would quickly grind against each other and wear out, leading to damage and eventually to failure. Similarly, our lives are made up of moving parts, and without grace, we too would grind against each other and eventually break each other down. You just think about all your relationships within you, that you're in. If you don't continue to have grace in them, it does begin to grind. It does to begin to wear each other down. You do begin to lose patience. And so my challenge today is about how much grace do you give people? How much grace do you give? Are you someone that's full of grace towards people? We know Jesus is amazingly full of grace towards us. You know, we know that he's patient with us. We know there's things that we should do or haven't done, or there's things that we do that we shouldn't do. And we know the amazing amount of grace that you can walk up to God and ask him and he forgives us. And, you know, it is quite mind-boggling. Can I give the same grace to the people around me? Can I give grace to the people? In Romans 3:23, we all know this: for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are all justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. This reminds us we're all sinners in need of redemption. We are all justified freely through God's grace. Grace is not something you've earned or discerned and deserved. And this is where I think we sometimes think that people should earn grace. We understand that we didn't have to earn it, but somehow when people do things wrong to us, we think they need to be punished. We need to do something to make sure that they're put right. You know, they need to do penance. They need to do something. Yet grace is that you let go of all that they deserve, all the things that they should be punished with, and say, no, I'll let it go. Now, I know that there's some things we're easier to give grace, or some people. For some reason, and it's probably just as well, it's easier to give grace to your children, isn't it? If you've got children. Despite, you know, everybody else is losing grace for them, but you can continue. Why is that? Because you love them so much. And the more we love people, the more it's easier to have grace for people. Just as an engine needs oil to function properly, we need grace to live a life that is pleasing to God. Without grace, we would be constantly grinding each other, experiencing friction and conflict in our relationships, and struggling with sin and temptation. But when we receive God's grace, it lubricates our lives, soothing out the rough edges and enabling us to function with God. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, this is a free gift, not by works, so that no one can boast." The passage reminds us that grace is amazingly freely given to us. And freely you've received, now freely give it. Ephesians 4:2 says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We need to be people that are trying and as best we can to live at peace. And again, to do that, you need the grace of God. And it is a gift. It's supernatural that we can, it's supernatural the grace that we've received. It's supernatural for us to be able to give grace to the people around you. So just take a minute. Are you a person that is full of grace? Would people sum you up and go, yeah, man, that person, man, they've got a lot of grace. How would you go? Mark yourself out of 10. You know my liking for marking ourselves out of a number. Could you be more gracious towards people? Is that the word, gracious? Yeah. Could you be more full of grace? We need to be humble, patient and loving with one another and make every effort to maintain unity. Again, just as our engine needs to function properly, our relationships need grace in order to thrive. Without grace, we were constantly grinding against each other, experiencing friction and conflict in our relationship and struggling with unforgiveness and bitterness. But when we extend grace to one another, it just lubricates our relationships, soothing out the rough edges and enabling us to function as a united body. You know, Colossians 3:12 says, therefore, as God's chosen people, that's us, that's you, chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If you have, if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive. Just as the Lord forgave you. Great verse, isn't it? Hard one to outwork. Another one of those ones where you go, oh yeah, that's easy to talk about in Connect Group. Man, it's another thing to live at work, to be someone that forgives easy. Are you someone who forgives easy? If I asked you to say, hey, is there anybody right now that you're struggling with forgiveness with? How would you go? Again, just like grace is a gift, I think the forgiveness is a gift and that really it's supernatural. You need God's help. I think I told you a while back, I did a wedding with the Catholic priest. And so we were sharing doing this wedding, which was good. And he gave the message and he talked about love and how in Greek there's different words for love, but he used the word agape. The love agape, he says, is like God's love towards us. And basically he was saying that in a marriage, to actually have agape love, it's not humanly possible, it's divine love. You need God in that love for you and to enable you to love at the level that we talk about in 1 Corinthians 13. It's divine love. You need God. You can't love at that level in your own strength. You need God. You can't live a life of forgiveness and grace in your own strength. You need the empowerment from God. You need the Holy Spirit working in you and enabling you to be the person God's called you to be. You know, we are called to live in a way that reflects God's grace to those around us. So why do we struggle? Why do we have a hard time? Why does the person next to you have a hard time with grace? I know you don't, but maybe they do. So let's just go through that. Here's the first one that I put down, pride. Pride can make it difficult to extend grace to others, as it can cause us to view ourselves as better than others and resist showing mercy and forgiveness. And we all know the story in the Bible where you know the guy gets forgiven by, you know, for millions and then runs down the road and makes the guy that owed him $100 pay and puts him into prison. I think in our pride means that we become puffed up within ourselves and that we actually begin to think, oh, no, I'm a good person and God loves me because I do all the things that he wants us to do. So that's where pride comes in. No, there's nothing good in me. The only good in me is because of God's grace on my life and his kindness to and my enabling. And while ever I stay humble, then I will be someone who extends grace to everybody else. Hurt and bitterness too. This is another reason. When we have been hurt and wronged by others, it can be difficult to extend grace to them. Bitterness and resentment can make it hard to let go of our anger and show compassion. And you know, one of these things, justice. We do have this thing within us where we want justice. We want justice. If someone's done us wrong, we want justice. We want them to pay for it. They deserve to pay for it. They did us wrong. They deserve that. We shouldn't let them go scot-free. And that's where we struggle. We struggle to go, God, can I trust you to do justice? I always think that while ever I hold on to try and punish someone, most times it doesn't actually punish them. They don't care. They don't even know. They've carried on. They didn't even know that that was a problem. And the things that I were doing to them, they probably didn't even see, you know, those stares or those ignoring them or anything like that. They didn't feel that. That didn't get justice to them. And I always feel that God says, while you want to put justice to them, he sort of stands back and says, well, I'll let it go then. But when we go, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to give up my need for justice. I'm going to walk in grace. I'm going to forgive them. I'm going to let it go. As we do that, then God deals with a person. Now, you may never ever see that. But I can tell you that God is not mocked. What a man or woman sows, he will reap. God will deal with it. And there's a, without being, you've got to watch it, without getting nasty and go, well, there you go, God can deal with them now. I mean, there is that sense, but there is also that sense of you've got to let go and let God. And you will be freer for it. You'll be free. Hebrews 12 says, warns you, see that no one falls short of the grace of God and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. When you've got bitterness within you towards someone, it affects the people around you. I think the people that look the most freest are the people that have got no bitterness with them. They're free because they forgive and they let go. They don't hold grudges. They walk in a sense of grace. And it's beautiful. You like being around those people. You see, sometimes we think, oh, I can hide this. No one will know. No, if you've got bitterness, it comes out. Let's move on. 3, fear. I think fear is another reason. Fear of being hurt again. Fear of what others may think of us can make it hard to extend grace. We may worry that showing forgiveness and compassion will make us appear as weak and vulnerable. But this is this whole area of faith and going, no, I'm gonna walk this road of being someone who is merciful and full of grace. And Jesus was definitely merciful and full of grace. Fourth thing is that we're scared that people have a misunderstanding of grace. Some people may not fully understand what grace means and how it works, and that means they will view it as a license to sin and an excuse for doing wrongdoing. And we've all got to watch that. We've all got to watch that. Oh, well, man, I can do this because I know God's grace is going to cover me, which is true, but it's the wrong thing to be standing in, isn't it? It's the wrong place. No, I've got to be going, because I love God and I'm so thankful for the grace, I'm going to try not to use more of it than I need. Yet it's always going to be there. It's a fascinating thing. I think that's why the next one I've got is legalistic. Sometimes we become legalistic because we think if people get grace, they will do all the wrong things and they will abuse them. Again, I go, no, in the end, God will deal with that. In the end, I've got to be able to trust him. It's not for me to be the person that pulls out the rules. I want people to live by grace. I want people to live in freedom. We've got to overcome these barriers to giving grace. And I think, you know, in the Bible, there's so many good stories of grace and ones that we love. the prodigal son. Oh, we love that one. Man, the grace of the Father is just mind-blowing. And I know we've had some great, Ruth did a great message on the prodigal son and you know, the oldest son. But we love the grace of the Father. The question is, can you be the person that gives the grace like the Father? You know, we like being the son and going, yeah, oh man, thank you, God, that you accept me back in. But can we live the life of being like the Father? And I think Ruth might have said, you know, the oldest son should have been standing next to the Father, waiting for his brother to come home, full of grace. Maybe even the older son should have gone after the younger brother and given grace. The woman caught in adultery, an amazing, amazing revelation of grace. He who has no sin, let him throw the first stone. How fast would you walk away? The Samaritan woman at the well, God's grace to her brought her salvation. Jesus was full of grace. He wasn't sitting there in judgment. You know, one of the challenges that I think we have is that the more people, and I've just sensed we're on this journey where more and more people are going to get saved, and they're going to come in from all walks of life. And are we able to go, God, you need to work in their lives? Can we let God work in their lives, or do we have to say something? The Pharisee and the tax collector, excuse me, we must learn how to extend grace to people. We must trust the Holy Spirit to work in a person. My dad always said that most of us are not very good at handling truth the first time. And I know that from my own experience when someone sort of said, you need to sort this out. Oh, you know, the immediate response is, oh man, I'm not, who are you to say that? In fact, I was in the gym the other day and I just got out of the shower and it was really, really hot. I was still sweating from the workout and there's a guy that I've never ever met before and I just made the comment, oh, you'd think I'd remember to have a cold shower, you know, to cool it down so that I'd cool off. And the guy straight away went, yeah, you'd think at your age you'd know that by now, wouldn't you? And I sort of went, well, okay, you're right. You'd think I would know by now, wouldn't you? And I just thought, man, just as well I was full of grace, and I thought, oh, okay, here we go. Like even the way he said it, I thought, man, you must have to be careful what you say. Man, you might get yourself into trouble. But we've got to be full of grace. And I always remember my dad, he was pastoring a church in Hawara. That's a good 40 years ago. And in the church, a guy got saved. His name was Bert. What's funny is I told this story over in Coast, and I was thinking, nobody would know who Bert was. It was 45 years ago, and someone came running up, was that this guy here? And I went, yes, it was. Just as I say, good. So Bert got saved. He was a farmer. He got saved in Dad's church, and he was a farmer. He had race horses. He was in the Masonic Lodge. He was, you know, and he gets radically saved. And so, you know, he just got a new horse, so he called his horse. I can't remember, but Dad can't confirm what the name was. It was either Set Free or Born Again. So that was his horse's name. And, you know, the horse raced, and when it won, the tides went up in church and bits and pieces. So, you know, put that in your theology. I don't know where you put that. So Bert was right into the race industry and knew everybody everywhere. And, you know, he'd got this horse and done an amazing things. And he was in the Masonic Lodge. But he got so radically saved, he was just talking to everybody. And I remember Dad saying a few people came and said, oh, you need to go talk to Bert. You know that he's gambling, and you know that he's got a racehorse and he's in the race industry and it's really bad, eh? You know that, eh? And I can remember Dad saying, well, God will work it out. I don't have to be God's policeman. I don't know what it is in Christians that want to be God's policeman. What is that? No, God will work it out. And about 18 months in, Bert of his own accord came to Dad and goes, Yeah, I don't think that racing industry is a good place for me to be in there. Now, he'd witnessed to everybody in there, but in his own thing, God had spoken to him and he said, I think it's time for me to get out of that. And they went, oh, okay, well, that's up to you. God's obviously speaking. So he gets out of it and that's good. And then about 6 months later, he goes, oh, he was quite high up in the Masonic Lodge. And he goes, oh, some weird things happening in the Masonic Lodge. I don't think I should be in there. I think I need to go out. And so Dad did the conversation and prayed with him. And the Holy Spirit works in people. And we got to trust the Holy Spirit to work. We got to be just full of grace and love. People, could anybody walk into here and you love them? No matter what their background is, now whatever they are you okay to just go, man, my role here is to love them and let God work in them? Because when God works in us, it's a phenomenal work. It's a miracle work. Salvation and grace is a free gift from God. Michael, do you want to just come and pray? Why don't you just take a moment and ask God, you need more grace in your life. We all need more grace in your life. Father, right now, I just pray for each person here. Lord, that you'd let grace come in. Holy Spirit, we are so grateful for your grace and your mercy to us. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. I want you to just ask God, is there anywhere, God, you want me to give more grace? Is there a situation where I've been trying to control it by rules or legalism or manipulation, and you need to just let it go? Holy Spirit, we come right back around to freedom.